I just want to say it's just so good to see you this morning. I just want to kind of put on a pastoral hat here for a second. And I just really feel in my heart that God just wants people to know that he is with you. I love that last song that we sang this morning. I thought it was just so appropriate for the season that we're in our world where there's just, what's next? Has anybody ever asked that question this week? You're just thinking, what could happen next? And I want to let you know you're not alone. And I love that God is with us. And not only is he with us, but he's for us. And I just want to encourage some people today. I know it just seems like there's a sense of heaviness in our world today. And I want to let you know, as believers, as followers of Jesus, I want to let you know we have this wonderful, wonderful hope. And I want to let you know, as believers, we can keep our shoulders back, our head held high. We can have hope in our heart, knowing that God is on the throne today. How many people believe God is on the throne today? And nothing has caught him by surprise. He is sovereign. He knows all things. And I just want to encourage us today. We can allow our attention to be directed to all that's going on in the world, or we can allow our attention to be drawn to God and say, Lord, even in the midst of this, you're the potter, I'm the clay. And Lord, you're in charge, and I just want to surrender myself to you. I refuse to get down. I refuse to be defeated, but I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus Christ, who's the author and the perfecter of our faith. And church, I just want to encourage you. We don't know what's going to happen next. I think we figured that out this year, haven't we? We just don't know what's going to happen next, but I want to let you know God does. And he's got everything in his hands. And let's just leap into his arms and let him lead us and guide us and direct us. And I just want to encourage people today, you are in good hands. Amen? You are in good hands. So let's open with a word of prayer. And let's ask God to speak to our hearts this morning. I love that God speaks to us through his word. And I just pray that our ears would be open, that our hearts will be receptive to get what God may want to say to you in this moment. I believe that God's word is relevant. It's for right now, today, in this moment. And let's just put up our spiritual antennas and say, God, please speak to me today. And I believe he will through his word. So, Father, we just thank you for this day. We just thank you, Father, that you are, as we sing often at Journey Church, you are a good, good Father. And that's who you are. And Lord, we rest and we lean into your goodness. We lean into your mercy and your sovereignty. We lean into you, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that our strength would not be our own, but our strength comes from you. Our help comes from the Lord. And Father, we just thank you for that today. Lord, we just pray for our world today. We just pray for healing in our land. Lord, we live in a season where all this with COVID and, Lord, now the political tension, the unrest. Lord, we come and we run into your hands and we ask, God, would you help us? God, will you help us? Lord, will you heal our land? Lord, in a world, in our country that's divided, Lord, would you do something powerful, supernatural? And God, would you bring healing? Would you bring hope, not only to churches, but people around the world? And Father, I pray that you would do something so much bigger than us. It's not natural, it's supernatural. And Lord, we just come to you. And Lord, we just thank you for this day. We just thank you for this moment. Open up our hearts. Open up our ears. Speak to us. May we breathe in. I just want to encourage you right now, breathe in God's presence. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, this morning, what I want to do is I want to continue a collection of talks that we began last week. This is week two. And our collection of talks that we're looking at right now is centered really around this one question. And the one question we're looking at last week, today, and again next week, leading up to Advent, the question we're going to look at is, what is important? And I want us all to think about that. Have you ever stopped to really think, what is it that is most important? What is it in my life? What is it in my marriage? What is it in my family? What is it in my friendships? What is it at Journey Church that is really the most important thing, okay? And I was thinking about it this week. You could put those most important things for maybe you, for a lot of people, into three categories. The first category is things that are good, that are important, or certainly family is important. I love my family. I've been so thankful for my family this week. I told them at dinner one night, I'm so thankful that I have at least three people that love me. You know what I mean? And I am just so thankful for Heather, Grant, and Nolan. They're my biggest fans, and I love you guys. You guys are awesome. And what else is good? Friends are good. I love friends. It's great to have great friends. Another thing I think is really good, and if you've ever lost it, you'd say amen to this, and that is our health. It's a good thing. That's important. Then I put into a second category things that we could say are good, but they're kind of on the fence, meaning they can go to the right or to the left. Things like success. That can be good or bad. It depends. You got to be careful there. Number two, our comfort. That can be good or bad. If we make that our top priority, that's probably not real good. That's on the fence. Here's another one that's on the fence, happiness. I'm all into happiness, but what if that's our biggest, most important thing? So on the fence. And then I came up with this hopefully creative idea. What could be a problem if we really made it the most important thing? What could be a potential problem? Number one, if we have this need that we got to be right all the time. I'm sorry to step on some toes here this morning. But if you feel like you got to be right all the time, that's most important. The altars are open after church, okay? Lord, help me, forgive me for saying that. Okay, here we go. Here's another one that could be a problem. If you feel like you always have to express your opinion, that could be a problem, you know? And don't look at your neighbor and don't jab them in the side and say, "Ah, that's you." Okay, we all know that. Okay, here we go. Here's a third thing that could be a problem is you feel like you always have to get your way. Get your way. By the way, that's a lack of maturity if you feel like you've always got to get your way. So the question comes down to back to what is most important. If you were stopped and really think about it, and I would say think about it in the presence of the Lord with his help, what is it that's most important, okay? And as I said last week, we're not the first people to ask this question, okay? We're not the first people. It's the same question, my friends, that was directed to Jesus over 2,000 years ago. And the man who asked this question to Jesus was a part of this group of people called the Pharisees, okay? And I want to let you know, if we were to meet this guy today, we would say, wow, he has his act together. He's super religious. This is a guy that would stand out as really, really impressive in most Christian circles, most Christian church. But he was a very religious, religious person, okay? And by the way, do you know what the focus of a religious person is? Just think about this for a second. Do you know what the focus of a religious person is? Don't answer out loud. I'm going to show you. The focus of a religious person is rules, meaning I got to keep all the rules. If I'm going to feel good about myself, if I'm going to look better than you, if I'm going to get God to accept me, then I got to fulfill all the rules. I got to dot all the I's. I got to cross all the T's. And that's what religion is all about. Religion is rules-focused, rules-centered. But how many people know whereas the primary focus of a Christ follower? By the way, how do I define Christ follower? I define Christ follower as somebody that has this recognition that they're a sinner, they're apart from God. So what do? They repent of their sins, and they turn, and they do what? They place their faith in Jesus Christ. Now they're on a journey of following Jesus. And I want to let you know the primary focus of a Christ follower is not rules, but the primary focus of a Christ follower is relationship. Relationship. I think that's really, really good. And it's a relationship that with Jesus Christ that makes it possible for us to have peace with God. The only way we can have peace with God is not through rules. The way we have peace with God is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So religion is rules focus, and we don't want to be that here at Journey Church, okay? We don't want to be rule followers in the sense that that's how we find our acceptance, our identity, our salvation. What we want to be here at Journey Church, what I want to be, and I want Heather to be, and my boys, I love my boys so much. What do I want for Grant Nolan? I want them so much to have a relationship. I want it to be all about relationship. So religion's rules focus, Christianity is relationship focus, and there's a big difference. And the reason why I bring this up, because it fits so beautifully as we open up to Matthew chapter 22. Because in Matthew 22, we're going to see this conversation between this very religious guy who is all about rules, and he's going to have a conversation with Jesus, who is all about relationships. So we're going to start today and look at the text in Matthew 22. If you want to open your Bible, that's great. If not, I'm going to provide all the verses for you on the screen. So let's look at this, okay? This religious teacher, this guy, it actually says in the text that he's an expert. He's a lawyer in religious law, so he's very sharp. And he says, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" And like we said last week, he wasn't concerned really about the answer. He was more concerned about trapping Jesus, making Jesus look silly in front of the crowds. And he says, "Teacher, what is the most important commandment?" And as we talked about last week, what they did is they took the original Ten Commandments that Moses got on Mount Sinai on the tablets. And throughout the years, what they did is they turned those Ten Commandments and they expounded on them. And before you knew it, there was 613 different commandments. So there's a lot there. And he says, "Teacher, which one of these commandments is most important?" Jesus replied, and I love the brilliance, the wisdom of Jesus, fully God, fully man. Jesus says to this guy, looking him in the eye, he says, "Hey, this is what's most important. You must love the Lord your God, and you got to love him with all your heart. You got to love him with all your soul, and you got to love him with all your mind." And Jesus says, "This is the greatest commandment, loving God." And here's what I love about our text today. He doesn't stop there. Jesus is going to add something without being asked. And I love what Jesus says next. He says, a second. And I love the wording here, is equally important. This is equally important. Don't miss it. Loving God is big, but this is equally important. And that is that you got to love your neighbor. And check out what he says, as yourself. I don't know about you, but that's big. Love my neighbor as I love myself. And then Jesus concludes this conversation. He says the entire law. And he says all the demands of the prophets, they're based upon these two commandments, two things. So here what we see is two commandments that Jesus says are equally important. And here's what I find very, very interesting. And that is that both of these commandments focus on what? It's not rules, but both of these commandments focus on what? Relationship. That's right, you got it. Relationship, not rules. See, the first one, which we looked at last week, focuses on what? It focuses on our vertical relationship with God. That's the greatest commandment. You got to get this right. You got to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's our vertical relationship with God. Something I didn't say last week, and I wish I would have as I went home later Sunday, and I want to say it now, and that is when we get this relationship with God right, I want to let you know it lays a strong foundation for everything else in our life. And I just want to speak to people. I don't know where you're at today. I just want to speak to people. The most important thing is for us, the creation, to love the Creator with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength, Jesus added. And I want to let you know when we get this right, when we're on this journey of figuring this out, how this has happened, I want to let you know that's going to lay a beautiful foundation that you can build everything else on in your life. But Jesus says the second commandment, which focuses on what? The horizontal relationships. Those relationships we have with others. And I want to let you know, when we get this relationship with people right, folks, listen to me. When we get this commandment right, where we have good relationships with others right, when we figure this out, this is when life works the best. When you know how to have healthy relationships with other people, some people that may be totally different than you, different views, different opinions, when you figure this out, how you can love other people, that's when life works the best. Because here's what I found out, I've been finding out in my life. pastoral ministry is this, that many of people's pains and disappointments in life are often a direct result because they have unhealthy relationships going on. And folks, we got to figure this out. Just as we need to figure out loving God, we got to figure out how we love people, because when it works, it is when life is at its best. So what I want to do for the next handful of moments is I want to take a closer look at this second commandment. When Jesus says, equally important, gang, you got to love your neighbor as yourself. So what's happening there? There's a change of focus. There's a change of direction. We're going from the vertical with God now to our horizontal relationship with our neighbor. So here's the question I need to ask you this morning. Who in the world is our neighbor? I want you to think about that. Who is it that we're called to love? I want you to think about this. Who is it that we're called to love? So here's what I've discovered. A lot of the experts, a lot of the scholars, they answer this question by saying that we're called to love all people. I don't know about you, but that's kind of hard for me. How many people know this guy needs a lot of help? Is anybody else in the same boat? I need a little help. I mean, I'm called to love Jesus. Are you telling me I'm called to love people that are different than me? Jesus, are you telling me I'm supposed to love people that have a different political view than I am? And Jesus is saying, Mike, yeah. Are you telling me, Lord, that I'm supposed to, he says in one other place in Scripture, are you telling me, Jesus, I'm supposed to love my enemies? And Jesus is saying, yeah, exactly what I'm telling you. Jesus would even go as far as saying, not only love for your enemy, but pray for what? Those who persecute you. So who is our neighbor? It's really what we were saying if we were painting. It's a very broad stroke. I want everybody to get that this morning. It's a very broad stroke. We're called to love everyone, okay? Every single person. That includes everyone. But today, this is what I want to do. Today, we're going to make it, we're going to bring it in. We're going to shrink it. And today, I want to focus on loving our neighbors, and those neighbors being those people closest to us. Today, we're going to focus on loving our immediate family. Today, we're going to focus on, if you're married, loving your spouse. Today, we're going to focus on loving your family. Today, we're going to focus on loving our church family, other believers. Today, we're going to focus on loving those friends that are closest to us. And then next week, what we're going to do is we're going to broaden the circle even further, and we're going to focus on, what does it mean to love my neighbor? What does it really mean to love those in my... And next week, we're going to actually look at our literal neighborhood. How am I supposed to love that person across the street, across the office? So today, let's just narrow the focus, okay? So how do we love our neighbors as ourselves? That's a great question. How do we do this? How can we pull this off? Because I don't know about you, but I know who I am. And I know sometimes there's poison in my heart. And there, I know there's sometime that I'm not the me that I want to be. Is anybody else in that same group? And there's times where I'm like, oh, Lord, I can't do this on my own. So how can we possibly love our neighbor as ourselves? How can I love that person that's different? Their opinion, I'm like, I don't know where you arrive with that opinion, but how can I love that person? So here's what I did, gang, this week is I've been asking myself this question all week. Lord, I need help. How can I do this? How can I love my neighbor as myself? So what I do is I go on this search for answers. And in my search for answers, I want to let you know that I came across the sermon. And I came across the sermon by a guy named John Piper. John Piper is now retired, but for years he pastored a great church just west of us down in Minneapolis called Bethlehem Baptist Church. And I begin to read one of his sermons as he addressed this question, how do we love our neighbors as ourselves? And I want to show you what John Piper had to say. And I really latched onto it and I said, Lord, I think I'm getting it just even more. And John Piper wrote this. He said, this is how you love your neighbor as yourself. So everybody get ready. It's a little gross at the beginning, okay? He says, we love our neighbor by tearing the skin off my body. Okay, I want to let you know he's not talking literal. Okay, so everybody exhale. Okay, it's okay. I said this to Heather yesterday. She said, oh, gross. By tearing the skin off your body, and then you wrap it around another person. Why? So that you feel that I am that other person. So I'm going to tear the skin off my body. I'm going to wrap it around the other person. Why? So that I feel that I am that other person. He continues by saying, and all the longings that I have for my own health, all the longings I have for my own success and happiness, I now begin to feel that for the other person as though they were me. I think that's incredible. So we are to love our neighbors when we feel for them as though they were us. How many people know that's really radical? That's really, really big. By the way, let's pause here and let me ask you a question. And the question is, what do you think will happen in our relationships when we begin to focus on the health, spiritually, emotional, physical health, success, and happiness of others as though they were us? What do you think is going to happen in your relationships when you begin to see and love people that way? I'll tell you what's going to happen. There's going to be this positive explosion. It's going to be so amazing. If I begin to love Heather, Grant, Nolan, my friends, the people here at Journey Church, if I begin to love them as though they were me, and I was looking out for their happiness, success, and their well-being, relationship problems would go to the side. And I tell you what, the quality of your relationships would begin to rise up, and you would begin to see a newness of health, not only in their life, but in your life. I think we need to focus on that. But here's the question, how? How am I really going to pull this off? Because this is really something that I can't do by might or by power. I want to let you know this isn't an easy way to live, loving my neighbor as myself, putting my skin around their skin. How can I do that? How can I pull this off? How can I love other people? The first thing I need you to understand is this. The first thing you need to understand that this lifestyle that Jesus is calling us to is not natural. Does everybody hear me this morning? You're not going to be able to do this. Maybe some people will do it a little bit different because you have a different personality. But overall, you're not going to be able to pull this off because it's just not natural. I want to let you know, if you're going to pull this off, it's going to have to be something that is, can we use the word, supernatural. And I love what John Piper says right after that quote we just read. He follows it up with this quote. He says, if we're going to love our neighbor as ourself, all these are beautiful words, don't miss them, then something unbelievably powerful, earth-shaking, reconstructing, overturning, something upending will have to happen in our hearts. Then he concludes by saying something that is supernatural, something well beyond what self-preserving, self-enhancing, self-exalting, self-esteeming, self-advancing people can do on their own. And I want to say to John Piper this morning, amen and amen. I mean, that is so powerful. If we're going to love our neighbors as ourselves, it's going to take something way beyond willpower. It's going to take something way beyond willpower, way beyond what we can do. It's going to take us being able to connect with God. Folks, I want you to realize that these commandments come in perfect order. The perfect order, where do you begin? You begin by loving God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul and all your strength, and then the overflow of that, when you're in that relationship with God, he makes it possible, with his presence in your life, he makes it possible for you to love your neighbor, your spouse, your family, your friends, people here at Journey Church. He makes it possible because it's him working in you. Because here's the thing about God. The source of love, where does love come from? Does anybody want to take adventure? Does anybody want to take a guess? Where does love come from? Where does love originate? I'll tell you, love originates with God. 1 John 4:7. So if I'm going to love my neighbor as myself, it begins not with my neighbor. It begins with me having this relationship with God. And through this relationship with God, he deposits his love in me. And as he deposits that love in me and I surrender to that love, what I do is I now have the ability to give that love away and to love my neighbor as I love myself. We're going to have to stay connected. We got to connect, and we got to not only connect one time, we got to stay connected, gang, to God. That's why I believe with all my heart, that's one of the great values of daily devotions. Daily. I know we grind on this a lot. Daily spending time in the Word. Daily spending time in prayer. Daily spending time in worship. Daily spending time with God. Because as we're spending time with God, that love of God begins to flow in our life. And I want to let you know, I have found out I am the best lover. I got to be careful. I am the best lover when I'm loving on God. Are you hearing me this morning? When I'm just in this flow of communion with God, I am, ask my family, I'm a lot more enjoyable to be around. And see, it originates because Mike is having a right relationship. And then that flows, and I have the supernatural ability to now love God. You can't get the wagon ahead of the horse. The lead is loving God so that you can do this crazy, incredible thing and love your neighbor as yourself. It all begins by loving God, and that's the most important thing. That's a top shelf priority in the believer's life. If you want your life to work, gang, I'm just going to give you some good free counsel this morning. If you want your life to work at the best, begin by obeying this great commandment. You're going to work on loving God. You're going to be abiding in Jesus. You're going to be working on this relationship daily. And then as you do, you're going to have this ability to love as Jesus calls us to love. We need his help. Amen? So as we close today, I want to ask you a couple questions. My first question today in closing is simply, what if? And folks, I want you to listen in. I'm only going to be like 5 more minutes at the most. I want you to listen carefully. I think this is really powerful. What if comes in 2 questions. First part of the question is, what if you and I don't make loving our neighbor a priority? What if we say, you know what, there's other things that are more important? But what if we just fail and we don't make this the most important thing of loving our neighbor? This is what's going to happen. People are going to walk away. And they're going to go elsewhere to find love. Because it's in every person, it's in their life that what they want most is they want love. They want somebody to love them. And I want to let you know, if I fail to love my wife, my kids, as I love myself, I'm in danger of them walking away to possibly find love somewhere else. And as the old song goes, looking for love in what? All the wrong places. And I don't know about you, but I think we're all the same. I don't want those people closest to me to have to go find love somewhere else. I want those people in love in my life to say, you know what? I want Heather to say, I love the way we love. I want my boys to say, I know my dad loves me. But I tell you what, if we fail in this area, there's this real danger, and I'm very serious about it. There's this real danger that the people closest to us will go find love somewhere else. And I want to let you know, you don't want that. You do not want that. You want them to come to you. I don't want people walking away, even from Journey Church, because they came here and they couldn't find love. That breaks my heart if people would walk away from Journey Church because they never experienced the love of other people. Question number two is, what if we'll commit, make a commitment to loving our neighbor as ourself? What do you think will happen if you and I, we're not always going to get it right. We're human. We need God's grace. We need his help every day. Believe me, every day we need God's grace. But what happens if we'll make this commitment in our hearts that we're going to love our neighbor? We're going to love those closest to us. Here's what I think is going to happen. Have you figured it out yet? That's called a light on a dark summer evening. Now, many people know on a dark summer evening when moths find a light, what do? They do what? What is it? They gather. And I want to let you know, if we'll be people that are committed to loving with the help of God, our lives are going to be like a light. Because there's a lot of people out in this broken, hurting world that are looking for love. And maybe they're not finding it at home and they're not finding it there. What would happen if we'll just commit to say, hey, we're going to be that person. I believe that people are going to be coming to us. People are going to be coming to us. What would it look like, Journey Church? Let's think of a church level here. What would it look like, Journey Church, if this is a church where we're committed to loving people? Can somebody at least say, yay? Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. What would it look like if Journey Church was a church that was known? Those are people that love people different than them. That's a church that loves Republicans. That's a church that loves Democrats. That's a church that loves liberals. That's a church that loves, you name the category. That's the church that loves people that have a different opinion than them. That's a church where people, when their lives, when they did something bad and they're embarrassed. Just heard a story this week of somebody in their life that they did something that they're embarrassed about. And one of the things they said, I'm concerned if I can go back to church. Can I get a little excited this morning? Because I really want to jump up and down right now. And I want to say, yes, you better be able to come to Journey Church. We're going to love you. We're going to see you through this. We're going to be your best friends. I'll be a spiritual father for you if you need a father. We're going to love people. Because Jesus says, first commandment, love God. Second commandment, love people as you love yourself. And I don't know how many times I've messed up and I've dropped the ball and I've been embarrassed. If people knew this about me, I would be devastated. And I need a wife. I need kids. I need a church where I can run and say, you're welcome here. We love you with all of our hearts. We're in this together. Amen. And that's what I'm excited about, venture groups. I think venture groups are going to be beautiful. I have a dream. God gave me a number, I think God gave me a number of how many of these groups we really need in this church where we just can come and we can just love and we can have these relationships where people love one another because, folks, the world is crying out for people who authentically love one another. Amen. And we need this. We need this. I believe the future of the church is we need these smaller groups where people can come in and they can find love for one another. And if they do, they're going to be like, we're going to be like a light. And we're going to have to turn the light off. Well, no, we won't. We're going to keep it on. Just shut the window, okay? So, well, whatever. I'm getting in deep and I need to be quiet, okay? Are you getting my heart this morning? And here's the last question. What if? What's next? What's next? There's an amazing verse, and I want you to kind of lean to the front of your seat as we look at this verse together. Is everybody anxious? Say, oh, bring it. Come on, Mike, bring it. There's a verse, 1 John 3:18. John, the beloved, the one that Scripture tells us was probably the very closest to Jesus. We're told that he actually put his head on the chest of Jesus. There was friendship. John says, hey, in his letter, he says, let us not love with words. But gang, let us love with actions. How many people know there's a big difference between words and action? The old adage is, sometimes talk can be cheap. There's times we can say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And you're hurting, but we never step up to do anything to show that love. And I think Jesus is calling us to say, love your neighbor as yourself, because we, in those times of hurt, in those times of pain, yes, it's great to hear somebody say, I love you. But you know what's even greater is when they see the need in your life, in your time of pain. And the cool thing is when they begin to step beyond words and they begin to show it with their actions. And a lot of times I think the greatest action is T-I-M-E, time. Time. There's so many people that need our time. And that's one of the ways that we're going to express love. And Journey Church, I just have a, be careful how you take this, because I don't want to be misquoted. Because COVID is ugly, it's hard, it's difficult. But I also think that in this season of COVID, I don't believe God caused this at all. I don't believe that. But I also believe that God can use anything. And God can use this to say, church, when will you wake up and be a group of people that get away from your gatherings? And they're important. Gatherings are important. But when will you realize that what's most important is that, do you love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength? And do you take that? Where's the church that will love their neighbor? Folks, there's a lot of people that aren't with us in this building this morning because they're hurt. And we need to reach out to each other. We need to love one another. We need to show other people we're their biggest fans. We're their support system. We're there with them. And I really believe that God's doing something really special in Journey Church right now. And I am super excited about it. And I just want to let you know the foundation of what God wants to do at Journey Church starts with what we talked about the last 2 weeks. Will we be a church that loves God and loves people? And I tell you what, regardless of what the future looks like, if we'll be that church, God will use us. God will use us. And we will make a difference. Regardless of how many people come in the building or not, let's be a church that says, we're after God. We're going after God. Why don't we stand to our feet right now? We're going after God. We're going after people. I want to let you know, oftentimes in our life, God is going to call us to do things that are bigger than ourselves. A great example of this is Old Testament Zerubbabel was asked to rebuild the temple. And it was huge. It was a big, big task that was bigger than he could do on his own. And that's where we find this verse, Zechariah 4:6. where God speaks to the prophet. He says, it's not by might. Come on. It's not by power, but it's by my spirit. Zerubbabel, that's how you're going to pull this off. It's by my spirit. And I want to let you know, God's calling us to something big. And that is to love our neighbor as ourself. And it's bigger than you and I. And we're not going to do it by might or by power alone. But church, I want to let you know, the only way we're going to do this is by his spirit. So Father, I come in prayer this morning as a church. And I pray that this will be a church where your spirit's moving. Where your spirit's at work in people's lives. And Lord, when people leave this place, they become the church that goes out. And they become the hope, dispensers of hope, dispensers of love, dispensers of sharing good news with other people. And Lord, I pray that we will take the time in our life, in our church, to wait for your spirit to come and to help us to be all that you've called us to be. And Lord, I just thank you for this time together with the church. We just thank you for this morning. And God, I just thank you for what you want to do in Journey Church, in us and through us. And Lord, I pray that you would surprise us and that you would do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we could ask, think, dream, imagine. God, that we'll go out and be the people, that we'll be the people here at Journey Church that you want us to be. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone together said, amen. I love you guys.